Good morning. Good morning. And good morning to you, too. This is Law of the Land with Gloria J. Brown Marshall. And I come to you grateful for another day to be able to speak on this radio platform, this podcast, wherever you're listening, however you're listening. But I come to you also with a heavy heart. It's 60 years since the March on Washington, since we heard those words, I have a dream. And we've been talking about that a lot, not just on this station, but other stations as well. We saw a lot on the weekends, and I'm looking at it from the weekend perspective in the back mirror of something that I am concerned about, and I'll start off this way. What's the plan? What's the plan? So just stay with me for just a moment. We're going to have a great guest later on, but I want to just figure something out. I was talking with a group about Friday evening, and I said, what is the plan? What is happening as far as these consistent attacks against people of color, in particular African Americans, that have increased based on FBI data, that now African Americans' anti-Black attacks are the highest? Those against African Americans, those against people who are in that Black category, whether or not you are from Nigeria or you're from Trinidad or you came here through as a Black Brit from UK, there are attacks against Black people. This whole idea of, oh, those African Americans just complain too much, as I've heard many of my African friends say. If only you just work hard, that's all you need to do. But son, they fear our progress. They fear our progress. So back in 1963, there was unemployment around 5.6% for the country, 10.9% for African Americans, Asian unemployment, white unemployment male, just teased out by itself, was about 5.0%. And the reason why this is important for us to understand is because we need to think about where we were in 1963, where the murder, outright murder of Black people and any white person of good conscience who was also part of the voting rights movement going down south, like Viola, like the many white students who went down to Montgomery and other parts of Mississippi in order to get people to actually be able to exercise their voting rights. And Viola Liozu lost her life coming from Detroit down to Alabama, a white woman. But most of the people who have been murdered, who have been assaulted, raped, chased off of their land have been Black. From the Deep South. And one of these days, we're actually going to have to do some type of special on the land we lost as Black people, having to flee our farms in the middle of the night in order not to be slaughtered. But the slaughtering took place anyway, and that's what we saw in Jacksonville. We saw the lives taken of Angela Carr, A.J. Laguerre, and Gerald Deshawn. We saw that they were murdered because they were Black in the Dollar General store. Many of us, if you haven't shopped there, and I have, or passed by, you run in, it's not anything of note except a place that's convenient. The Dollar General store in Jacksonville or wherever they may be located. And Ryan Palmer, 21 years old, who's not even from Jacksonville, he's in the suburb. And like many of these young whites, my play, Crossroads, is about a young white male who's confused with racial hatred he's gained from the family sources around him. And he and his Black female professor confront each other over what they believe to be a grade in his class, but is actually about who owns the American dream. This play needs to be produced. This play needs to be seen. It speaks directly to this issue of this young white hatred, not based on anything that's happened to them in particular, because they're not even in those black communities, but from what they've been fed through family members, through the internet. So then what's the plan? Produce my play. Those people who have means to do so can hear this so that you can actually see this on stage. Maybe we can counter some of this hate, get this into some schools so that other people can see what some of these white young people are wrestling with. But that's not a deep enough plan for me, even though it would be great for me as a playwright, great for me because I believe this play can save lives. What's the plan as far as how do we as Black people go forward in this untenable situation of being the victims of slaughter by whites who are well-armed, and we know it. So those white people who are listeners, we know you're well-armed. And we have some Black listeners go, oh, I'm armed too, but you're not armed well enough and we don't have the numbers. So let's stop that. If the race war started tomorrow, for one, you're only thinking about yourself. It's not as though you're going around with a plan to protect the elders in your community or the children in your community so you can protect you, perhaps, if you happen to be where your gun is when things break up. So please, can we be realistic? What is the plan? What is the real plan? And where are the so-called Black elite? Where are these Black leaders? And I'm not talking about the ones who show up and give long speeches, get paid to be flown here and there. I'm not talking about that particular leader. I'm not talking about the leaders who, you know, get into these jobs claiming they represent the Black community because that's why they were hired. It's like, oh, okay, we want diversity. We want somebody to represent the Black community. So we're going to pick this person, usually an Ivy Leaguer. They put them in these jobs and then they care nothing about the rest of us. Who are our allies? I've spent plenty of time interacting with great white people, people who are Asian, people who are Latina, who say, oh, yes, I see the problem. I see the problem. Yeah, but what is the plan of action? Where do you stand? You can talk a whole lot, but where do you stand? I've talked to a group not too long ago. An older white person said, but I'm afraid of my relatives. Because you know who these crazy people are. This young man, 21 years old, his family said, yes, we know. The sheriff said, yes, we know. He hates Black people. We know he's a racist. Reason why you get quiet on your holidays, when you're sitting there with crazy Uncle Ned ranting off with all of this Trumper stuff, is because you know you're afraid of him and you don't want to mess up the time they're having together as a family with an argument. So you sit there and let them go on and on with their rants and say these nasty things, and you believe you're keeping the peace. But Martin Luther King said it was the silence of the good people that he just could not understand. And I can't either. The silence of the so-called self-proclaimed good people who actually believe that silence is going to benefit someone. It's only going to benefit you. And give you peace for that one moment to avoid confrontation, interaction, questioning, or maybe even saying, I want nothing else to do with this person. No, Cousin Ned, you cannot come to the Thanksgiving dinner. You cannot come to the Jewish holiday dinner. You cannot come to the Asian holiday dinner. No, you cannot come to any of our holiday dinners because you bring racial hatred with you and we don't want it at our table. As you bow your head or lift your hands up to pray to a God and you know that someone is seething there with race hatred, but you want to keep the family together, or you can do that because that'll cause all types of issues. What's your plan then? Just feel sorry for Black people when these things happen? Oh, but then they say, well, you bring this on yourself. You're seen as such violent people. Yeah, but wasn't it the white man with the gun who killed the Black people? Aren't the majority of mass murderers white? I'm trying to understand. I'm trying to get this. I'm trying to balance this out. And what really gets me in the news, every time you have a program with a white killing of black people or white mass murderers of other white people, you balance it out, people in the media, with some story about a black crime, just so people don't feel too bad about themselves. And this is what's happening. This is reason why that so many DeSantis type people want to get rid of black history in school, like want to get rid of American history that shows this type of oppression or deny it ever happened, because they don't want to live with the actual fact of the racial violence this country has committed. The taking of the native land from the very beginning, the kidnapping of countless numbers of Africans in order to work that land under pain of death. Yes, death. For those people, you know, who don't understand what slavery is, it wasn't just being worked. If you said, no, I'm not going to work, you would be killed in a most heinous way to send a message to the other enslaved people, everybody is going to work here or you will die. And then the jurisdiction, the town, the little councils that they had around during that time period in the 1800s had a fund. And anyone who was a slave master who killed an enslaved person to correct their behavior in order to benefit the other slave masters by showing what would happen if these enslaved people did not work. And the others, other enslaved people then saw that, were fearful, and got back to work or continued to work without question. Then the person who had to sacrifice their property by killing them, to give this example to the other enslaved people, was reimbursed through the fund of the town. That's the kind of country. That's what we've done. And so now when we have this time and we're saying, oh, this is a terrible thing. When there's attacks on the synagogue, oh, it's a terrible thing. And mark my words, there will be attacks on these people who have come in undocumented. And then, oh, and it'll probably be by someone from some other part of the country coming up to New York. That's happened before. White man comes from Virginia to stab black people who are homeless. Not because he feels that he is harmed in any particular way. The race hatred then. Dylann Roof traveled into Charleston, South Carolina, to the AME church there to kill people and leave one to say, I want you to be able to tell the story. I want to start the race war. And now he's going to live a life sentence. Young white male commits these crimes, has a life sentence, so he can plan behind prison walls the race war. What we're seeing, if these white people who have committed these horrendous acts aren't gunned down by police, they're not seen as a threat, even though police know they have killed somebody, killed many people. Dylann Roof was taken to McDonald's and given a hamburger before they actually brought him into the station. We need to understand what country we're living in and what is the plan. What is the plan? Are we to sit back and just be slaughtered? What is the plan? Where are these so-called black people in high places? Or what are they doing? Just pretending that they're not black so that they are not questioned, pretending they have no responsibility for those to whom much is given, much is expected. But they fear our progress. And because we have progressed to this point, because we have Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson on the U.S. Supreme Court, because we have Vice President Harris, because we have black people in high places across the country, this is the conundrum. Because we have people who are black in sports, we have Simone Biles doing wondrous things in gymnastics, because we have so many athletes, because we have so many people in arts and sciences, because of this rising up, despite the the racism, despite the obstacles, despite the undermining of K through 12 education for people in urban communities, despite all of these things, we have fought through. Our ancestors laid a foundation for all of us to fight through to be better. And yet the question is, our progress has caused the problem for some people. It's a problem. So then what is the plan? It is not for me to go backwards, and there is no way in the world I'm going back. So then what's the plan? How do we work this out? Prayer is great, and I'm a prayerful sister. But God said, watch and pray. It's written that we've all been given talents to do a better job as stewards of this land. What's the plan? What's the plan? I don't know how much more I can say about my guest, Manuel Gomez, outside of being an advocate for the little person, a champion for women, and someone who has worked so hard to help us understand our power legislatively, our power to protect our families. And when we don't have enough power, when we don't have enough inspiration, he's there to give us tips. He's there to work on proposed legislations. And he is also on this line today to talk with us about murder in the military. And he's bringing us information we would never have. And I told you, I promised I would investigate, and I'm going to work with him to help investigate these murders in the military. Many of them racial murders in the military, because it just so happens that the people who are getting murdered in too many cases are people of color. Good morning. Thank you for joining me, my friend, Manuel, private investigator, former NYPD, high-ranked former member of the military. Thank you. How are you?
Good morning. I'm glad to be on the show. Unfortunately, today's show is a real hard one because matters I'm talking about now and the cases that I'm dealing with now is lynchings in the military. And let me say that again. Hangings, lynchings, just like in World War II, just like in slave days, we are hanging soldiers, and the military is getting away with murder. And I just want to say before I begin, there was a soldier called Felix Hall, black soldier, on Fort Benning, Georgia. In 1941, he was lynched. Okay, and this is one of the first real, true acknowledgments of a lynching in the Army. And a big plaque was just erected 80 years later on July 23rd, 2021, telling the story. But there was no justice for that family. Then there was another black soldier named George Dawson. All right, he was also lynched. He was shot. He was hanged. The people that did it never hid their faces, and the police knew. And the military did nothing. And this was another black soldier back then. Now, let's fast forward to 2023. Still, lynchings and murders are happening in the military. It is at the point now, Gloria, where they have normalized homicide. And it's not just black soldiers being lynched and hanged. They are now lynching women. Women who have reported sexual harassment and are being found in their rooms hanged. Women with no psychological problems, no psychological history, and being hanged. And the disturbing thing is there is a doctrine in the government called the Ferris Doctrine, F-E-R-E-S. Again, Ferris, F-E-R-E-S, which lets the military not be held accountable for these murders. Now, let me tell everybody, these murders are happening on U.S. soil. And we have, just on Fort Bragg alone, from 2020, there was 44 murders. That's in North Carolina. Gloria, out of those 44 murders, 30 of them were people of color. Now, from 2020 to 2023, there's 50 murders. Now, it's at 36 people of color being killed. And here's the sad thing. They're CID, Criminal Investigative Section, which is supposed to do the job, has got most of these murders labeled as unsolved or death to be undetermined. I'm sorry. When you're found hanged in your room and you have bruises around your body, you didn't beat yourself up and then hang yourself. But they say that to be determined because they don't want to ruin the image of recruiting minorities and blacks to join the military because, hey, by the way, we're going to kill you too. And this is what's happening. And the Ferris Doctrine, when these families try to put in lawsuits or investigations, it protects the military for being held accountable. So in essence, we are now at the point where we have normalized homicide. It's become a normal thing. And it's disgusting that I'm here now fighting with these mothers called Mothers of the Fallen and these other families. Now I'm up to 20 families who children were all murdered, not at war. Let me make everybody clear on that. These people, all these soldiers, these young, brave soldiers who had a dream to serve America and be America's finest, and they are America's finest, were killed on U.S. soil, not in war. They were killed in the safety of their barracks. They were killed on a base where they're supposed to be utterly safe, surrounded by brothers and sisters who would protect them. And instead, they've been surrounded by wolves and jackals. And the commanders, me being a former retired 18th Airborne counterintelligence officer, knows that I've seen it as an officer. They'll say, protect the commander. Don't release the truth. Just say it's to be determined. And that's the problem here. And this is what I'm fighting against. And, you know, these mothers have now unified and have been fighting. But the problem is, it's the system of this law, Gloria, the Ferris Doctrine, is stopping all these families. You know, right now, I have a woman who you all might know, Vanessa Guillen. She was on Fort Hood, Texas. Fort Hood, Texas, she was raped. She was beaten. Her body was cut apart. And then her head was taken off her body. They tried to cremate her. They buried her. They couldn't even cremate her. So what happened? They poured concrete. Well, for some reason, the animals were digging at the area where that concrete was. And to me, that was her soul screaming out, I'm here. I'm here. But you want to know? Justice still has not been served. And then what's even more sad, on the same base, March 17th, 2023, Anna Ruiz on Fort Hood was found hanged again, another woman, again in the safety of her barracks, again with bruises on her body. And then they say death to be determined. She had a mental issue. She didn't beat herself and hang herself. She had no mental issues. This was a beautiful woman who reported sexual harassment from the higher command, which is documented, and still nothing happened. Vanessa Guillen, Fort Hood, Texas, again reported, and still nothing happened. And then, you know, what really blows my mind is that on the day they reported Anna's Ruiz's death, on March 17, 2023, the military conveniently left out that a black soldier, Specialist Katrina, Aaron Katrina, was also killed on that day. So they only let you know that one soldier was found dead when it was actually two females. Oh, and guess what? She had bruises on her body. But it's death to be determined. Now, in New York or any other state, when a woman's found hanged with bruises on her body, that's a murder. There was no depression on none of these soldiers, none of them. And then what even kills me even more, it's we have another one on 82nd Airborne, Enrique Roman, Fort Bragg. His head was cut off his body. It's 2020 to 2023. We've got over 60 now murders on Fort Bragg. This soldier, they still have it as unsolved. He was with seven other soldiers, but none of them are held accountable. His head didn't come off his body by itself. another one, Fort Bragg. And this is one that's very dear to me, Caleb Smithers. This mother, Heather Baker, just came back from Washington pleading with the government to try to make a difference and change the Ferris Doctrine and bring about accountability. See, Gloria, the problem we have now is we have a military that's investigating itself, that's checking itself, that's judging itself, that's monitoring itself, and punishing itself. You can't have a military do all of that because that's what leads to corruption. Machiavelli said it best. Total power totally corrupts. They have too much power. We need to have an outside agency. And this is why I'm proposing the whole of justice to bring about accountability over the military and over these government agencies so that they're not checking themselves and that people like Miss Guillen's family, people like the Contreras family, people like Caleb Smithers, people like Felix Hall, George Dorsey, people like Anna Ruiz, people like Katrina can go there and have an independent agency by civilians who are not associated with the agencies they're investigating to give a fair and partial investigation. And Gloria, we don't have that now. What we have is the normalization of homicide and nothing being done to hold them accountable. They say they're investigating it. Their number one job is protect the image of the military, protect the image of the military, and protect the image of the military. That's it. How do I know that? Because I'm an Army officer, and I was told that. And I used to tell them, no, I will expose the truth. No, I will not go gentle into that good night. And I'm still not. And now it's 18th Airborne fighting the entire U.S. military. But that's what I was taught to do, to take on insurmountable odds, to right the unrightable wrong, to dare to dream the impossible dream of bringing justice for all. And I have these mothers behind me, and I'm asking all the people in Long Island, please support us. Please write your congressmen and your senators and tell them we need to have the whole of justice bill. It's on my website, Black Ops Spine Investigators. It brings about accountability to all these agencies. Let's give these mothers a voice.
That's what I want. Manuel, I am so moved by this, but once again, I know our listeners are too, but we have to be moved to some type of action. And as I've told you before, you and I are planning on working on this together going forward. I want to, but talk about some of these individual cases. And if you would, for example, Fort Bragg cases. Mm-hmm. And looking at the murders on Fort Bragg, you were mentioning some of the names of the people. When you have discussed these murders, for example, use a few of the examples of the murders and tell us what has happened when you've questioned them. Like, what is the process you use to investigate when you go to the military base?
Well, I'll give an example. One of the murders, Fort Bragg, Caleb Smithers. He was hit his head while he was working on a Humvee accidentally, okay? But he hit it so hard that, you know, he got dizzy. He went to the hospital. Now, Fort Bragg has a history of just giving told soldiers Tylenol and sending them back and saying, shut up and suck it up. Okay? How do I know that? Because I've been to Womack Hospital on Fort Bragg, and I've hurt myself, and they've done the same thing to me. Okay? And that's as an Army officer, not even as a specialist like this soldier was. Okay? And he was sent back to his room. The thing about this case was, his mother had every document. Heather Baker had every document, every medical paperwork. And I went through it and combed it, okay? And she sent it to me. She sent me like five just John Grisham novels of information. And I saw that this was medical negligence. They sent the soldier back to his room, not once, not twice, three times. They sent Caleb Smithers back to his room. Three times he was denied medical attention. And then he died in his bed. Now, this is where it gets bad, Gloria. This is Fort Bragg, the home of the special forces. America's finest are created on this base. I know, because this was my home. This was, I belong to the 18th Airborne. I am a proud soldier of that, but not proud of what I'm about to say. They left him unaccountable. He was missing for 5 days. Nobody went to his room to check to see if he was there. And he was rotting in his bed. He died in his bed. When they finally opened the door, it's because the soldiers were spraying Febreze through the hallways because of the smell of the dead body. For 3 days, they were spraying Febreze. Nobody was smart enough, none of his sergeants, not his commander, to open that door. His body, his flesh was falling off his bones. And still nobody's held accountable. They didn't look for him. They let him go. He died from being denied medical attention. Now, you and I know, if we go to a hospital in New York or any other state and we have medical negligence, you get a lawsuit quicker than you can say Gloria. But not for this family. This family is pushed to the side. He just came back from Washington, D.C. This mother went Heather Baker meets Washington. She went banging on all the doors, trying to get help for her son, because it's been years now, 3 years now, and what have they done? Nothing. But all the evidence is there. And I've combed it through with her. I sat countless hours going through this, and it's rock solid. This is medical negligence. And they cover it up. The same thing as they did with Austin Hawk. Do you know that this soldier reported a sergeant selling drugs and heroin to soldiers? Let me say that again. Austin Hawk reported to his commanders a sergeant selling drugs and heroin to soldiers. And do you know that the sergeant went back to his room, stabbed him over 30 times, and cut his head off, and then walked off the base covered in blood? Nobody even stopped him. The commander did nothing. The soldier reported it. His life was in danger. 3 times he reported it, and they did nothing. But this mother has no recourse. Gloria, how can we have this? And that's why I'm thankful that you're going to work with me on another case in Japan, where it's Specialist Valentin. He was cracked in the back of his head. And let me say something. A lot of these soldiers, for the record, are of color. They're black and Hispanic, but there's also white as well. So it's a mixture, but the mixture is not balanced. There is an uneven balance, and it's more color than anything. But the fact of the matter is, besides color, they all wear the same uniform. We all under the same flag, and we can't get justice. And I call this America. The Sons of Liberty that wrote our Constitution are turning over in their grave. Because how can we kill our soldiers here? That's what they're doing. They're killing our soldiers. You know, we talk about the slave days and we talk about lynchings and all this stuff. Honey, it's normalized. They're hanging our women soldiers in their rooms and then calling it acts of depression. But then these women's bodies have bruises on them. They don't beat themselves. And I keep fighting with CID saying, hey, what are you guys doing? Like the kid with Valentin in Japan. Like I wanted the investigation with you. There's a double murder over there in the Marines. They threw him down a ditch, cracked him in the back of the head, buried his body, and then you're going to love this. They stole his credit card and ordered Pizza Hut to the base 5 days after the death. Then they did it to another dark-skinned Hispanic soldier, threw him down a pit, cracked him in the head, half-buried him, and then took his credit card and ordered Papa John's 7 days after his death. And I get on the phone with the Criminal Investigative Division, and I say, how is this death to be determined? How are you not labeling this as a murder? Please explain to me how he cracked himself in the head, threw himself down a ditch, and then did he bury himself and then gave his credit card out from the beyond so someone could buy Papa John's? Tell me. And you hear the crickets. You hear the crickets. And here's the sad thing. I was investigating, and then I met with another investigator from Stars and Stripes. This is a journalist like yourself. And he was showing me that there's over 700 fights a year for racial tensions just on Camp Smedley in Japan. So we have soldiers fighting soldiers over race. Come on. It's 2023. And we said it's changed from the 60s. Oh, it hasn't changed. It's become more sophisticated. It's become more organized. And the murders are even more concealed than it was from the time of Martin Luther King, than it was from the time of the slave days. Like I said, and let me say this again, George Dorsey, he was killed, that black soldier. All the people that shot him and stabbed him and hanged him, they didn't even hide their faces. They did not hide their faces, and the cops knew and nothing was done. This is what I'm talking about. And it's just as real as it was in 1941 as it is today. As a matter of fact, it's even more. Because here's the sad thing, Gloria. Do you know that on all these hangings of all these women, their bodies are injured, and then the military tries to say, well, they did it out of depression. But all of them have in common, they reported sexual abuse, sexual harassment, and these were all beautiful women of color. Come on, Gloria. Is it how many deaths do we need to have? 100? 200? Well, America, it's been way over that. We're at almost 1,000 deaths. U.S. soil. Let me say that again. 1,000 deaths. You combine it with all the bases and you will be disgusting. You want to throw up. You know, I never thought I would say this, but how can we let our children join the military when they can't even be protected from murder and a parent doesn't have the right to stand up to defend their children who got killed? Families, people, think twice before you send your kids. I'm a soldier. I love America just as much as my mother and my children. And I will tell you one thing. I would not send my kid now. Why? Not until the Paris Doctrine gives families the ability to be able to get compensation. Now, can you replace that death? No, you cannot. But should that mother should not be compensated? Should not Vanessa Guillen's mother should be compensated? Should not Austin Hawk, whose head was cut off for reporting a drug dealer, should he not be compensated, his mother? Should not Caleb Smithers, who was left in his bed to die, should he not be compensated? Heather Baker go to Washington. Half the doors didn't even open up to her. But then they want to kiss you. They want to vote. They want your vote. Come election time. Want to kiss your baby. But when you go in there for help, they don't want to do it. This is the problem. People, we have to hold our people accountable. We have to hold our elected officials accountable. We have to do demonstration through legislation. Let me say that again. Demonstration through legislation. We need to unify. This screaming in the street, no justice, no peace, just like Floyd. Is that anything?
But I want to ask you if there is someone whose loved one or someone they know, someone who's in the military listening right now, if they wanted to report this to you, what number would they call to report this to you? How would they report this to you? Do you have on your website a way for someone to write to you on the website to report if there has been a murder in the military and people are frustrated and need your assistance to work on their case?
You can, if you have a murder or you're a victim of this type of abuse or sexual harassment and you need help, you can go on Black Ops Plan Investigators. You can fill out one of the consultation forms and write out your story, and I will get back to you. If you don't want to do that, then call me at 347-867-6242. 347-867-6242. If I don't pick up immediately, because a lot of people call me, just call me like I owe you child support, like I tell Gloria, okay? Because I will pick up. And if it's an emergency, please text me 911. But America, just remember, I'm old school. Don't text me a John Grisham novel. Text me 911, I'll get right back to you. Okay? And I just want to say, you know, we have to unify. You can't be scared anymore. If you know this is happening to a soldier, call me. I'll go to your base. I have no problem. I'll go and help you with that. Call me. I don't give a damn if you're in Kentucky, California, Memphis, Tennessee, or Augusta, Georgia. It doesn't matter. I will come to you.
Or okay? If you're in Japan or you're in any of these bases in Germany or wherever around the country.
Amen.
Amen. What you need to do, and you can also send information to me, because this is one gentleman who is doing the best he can. He receives dozens of text messages, calls, et cetera, whenever he's on this program. But we need to understand that he's one person. So if you could go to his website, that would be better than inundating him with the phone call messages. If you're not a military person yourself, if you're a military person yourself, I would say you need to get directly to him or find out how you can get directly to him, depending on what you have available to you as a means of communication. But murder in the military is a major issue. I'm going to be doing continued shows on this. This is not the first program we've done on murder in the military. How this fits into what we're talking about with the 60th anniversary, as Manuel Gomez has said, and I've started off with my show, this is the 60th anniversary of the March on Washington for Jobs and Justice. We're looking at the job rate and still seeing that the Black unemployment rate, Latino unemployment rate, is still twice as much as the white unemployment rate. So we're looking from the jobs point and we're looking from the justice point and saying, and we're still dealing with issues of lack of justice, prosecutors not prosecuting when there are instances of abuse and assault on people of color, over-prosecuting people of color, police officers letting the white man walk away after mass assaults. If he doesn't kill himself, he's not going to be killed by police, but a Black person, brown person with their hands in the air, still seen as a threat of some kind, gunned down by police officers too often in this country, or choked to death. I want to end, because we're now down to our last minutes, and to say to you, Manuel Gomez, as you begin to work in the last moments, we have 30 seconds. What do you want the people to do right now who might find themselves in this situation? I would say to take notes about, get names, but what would you give them as advice right now, finding themselves in a dangerous situation on a military base?
What I would tell you is go on a site, which I use all the time. It's called Spy Associate. You can buy yourself a $100 camera, a spy camera, or a recording device, or one of the world's smallest ones. It's about the size of a paperclip, and it records for 90 hours. And you can record and take recordings, because you never want their word against their word. You want your word, your video, your audio against their lie. And this is how we're going to shut them down. You have to protect yourself. You have to get spy equipment. You literally have to become a modern-day James Bond. But you don't have to spend all that much money. You can do this for $100, $200. Again, spyassociate.com. And if you need that help and you don't know and you didn't hear it, spyassociate.com. And they dial my number one more time, and I'm going to say it slow. 347-867-6242. 347-867-6242. I will help you. I will help you and show you what you need to do to protect yourself. Please. Call me. Don't hesitate. And if you don't call me, reach out to Law of the Land. And that's the last thing I want to leave with. We need to support radio shows like Law of the Land, because if it wasn't for Gloria giving me a voice and giving these voiceless women a voice, you would not know this. Support this show. Support what it's doing. It's empowering you. It's educating you. Law of the Land needs your support as well, because I thank them for letting me give a voice to these soldiers. To these fallen soldiers, I have the dog tag of Caleb Smithers. That mother gave me in tears. I wear it with mine. So I don't forget that I will leave no soldier behind, that I will not go gentle into the good night. And on that note, may God bless all of you. Call me anytime, 347-867-6242. May God bless all of you and keep you safe.
Thank you, Manuel Gomez. You are my hero. And I hope all of us will send our good wishes, thoughts, prayers for protection for Manuel Gomez as he goes out there to fight that good fight. If you want to continue to help in this work at Law of the Land, to help keep this station alive and vibrant, keep this program on the air, then pledge your support. Become a BAI buddy. The number is 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950. I don't get paid for this. I don't get paid for this. I've been doing this for years with my hectic schedule, everything I'm doing in the world, and I still try to carve out time to do this show because I believe it's important for us to be inspired and empowered, for us to learn about what's going on in the world. This is the most litigious country in the world. More lawsuits, more lawyers, more cases, more judges than any other nation, bar none. Yet, do we know the law? Do we understand it? And then what does law have to do with justice? Sometimes they overlap. Sometimes, as you heard today, they do not. 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950. For as little as $5, you could become a BAI buddy. Give as little as you can give or more. Some of you do have means to give more. Some of you know how hard Manuel has been working. And as he said, you would not even know he existed. He's helped so many people. And you know who you are in my listening audience. He has helped so many people. And he's just one person. And he's a grown man with his own family. And he was one of those people during 9/11 who breathed that dust. I want us to understand he has been there for us. And now he's on this show telling you about how you can help yourself by getting that spy camera. I know I'm going to get one. Get that spy camera so that you can then record the people on your job who are harassing you. You can record the people in the military when you feel your life is in danger. You can record what's happening in your domestic violence situation so that when you go to the judge and say you want custody of your children, you can show the judge what that a partner has been doing. He has given you a lifeline. Help us, give us one with your financial support. 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950. I'm going to have to end at this point. I hope that you gained from this show. If you want to, please, if you can, learn more about the Constitution through Your Democracy. That's my animated series, free, available online. We're giving you more knowledge. I want to have you leave this show having listened to it and gained more that I've overpromised. If I could overpromise, but as I underpromise and overdelivered, I'm not sure. I just want to be helpful. 212-209-2950. Become my BAI buddy. And at this point, thank you, Michael G, for being such a great engineer. And once again, if we could send up the best light and protection for Manuel Gomez as he does the good work and fights the good fight. And I will see you, all of you. On the radio.